Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to PGN. This is Tuesday evening. It is May 25th, and Deborah with you this evening. So thank you for joining us, and we are delighted that you are here, and it's a privilege to be with you and join faith together. Psalm 118 says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord, you who come into his sanctuary under his guardianship. The Lord is God, and he has given us light, illuminating us with his grace and freedom and joy. Bind the festival sacrifices with cords of horns on the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, and I extol you. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Excuse me. "And his loving kindness endures forever." So praise the Lord. My goodness, let me get a drink of water. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. The latter end of Psalm 118. And the Lord put something on my heart. I've just been pondering something here and there sporadically. And so I just felt like his breath was on it, and I pulled up some verses, and really, I don't know all, I don't feel like he's even done speaking to me about this, but I am going to go ahead and speak on it because this is where I felt the breath of God, felt the Lord breathe on this particular area. But let's pray before we start. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We dedicate it unto you, God. We thank you, Father, Lord, for coming into the house of the Lord. We thank you for the faith that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that you can refresh our faith. You can breathe on our faith, God, and you've made our faith come alive, Lord. And we thank you for the measure that we have that we would give unto you, God, in such a way that it would be honoring and pleasing, God, that your name certainly would be magnified and extolled, Lord, for your goodness and your mighty and gracious great acts. We thank you for sending your precious and priceless Son, Jesus, and his atoning blood and every sacrifice and privilege, God, that he's made on our behalf. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that opens the way for us to come to the throne room of grace, Lord, boldly asking and directly coming into your throne room, God, but with humble hearts for all that you've chose to do, God. We thank you, Lord, and just invite you into every area of our heart to freely roam soul and our spirit, that you might have your way and that you might be exalted and be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, as some of you know, I had been reading a few months ago, maybe starting in March. I think it was March time that I had started rereading the account in Moses and Exodus where it was the Passover and they were delivered. They were delivered, and just some things the Lord was putting on my heart to pray and showing me some deliverance thing and his mighty acts and his mighty deeds and his wondrous works that he did for his people out of compassion and hearing their cry and delivering them from oppression. Well, and one of the captions in the verse there, actually, I don't remember which one at the time, but I do remember it led me over to, there was a little like word wealth, if you will, caption in my Bible. And it led me over to Numbers 11. And that particular verse says, Aaron is to present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering for the Israelites so that they may be ready to do the work of the Lord. Okay, so Aaron was as their priest, you know, and the Levites was the priestly ordinance of the Lord in that tribe and in the function and their role. And so Aaron was to pray over the priests to even to get them ready to, one might say, to consecrate them so that they might help the other people to get them ready to do the work of the Lord as these priests, right? And so from Exodus I'm not sure which role, I don't know if it was, but we do know in Numbers 6, you know, is that is the priestly blessing that Aaron prayed over the people while Moses, it says the Lord spoke to Moses, and then he gave to Aaron the blessing to pray over the priest, okay, but then he was to prepare them, and it was a thing of type of like restoring first, and the wave offering had to do partly with well, they were restoring somewhat of the relationship one to another in the community, if you will, because they had left they had left right out of Egypt into Israel, into the leading them, you know, towards the promised land. And so they started to have some issues, and there was sin. And even in Leviticus, okay, which is before the book of Numbers, but there was a restoration process that was beginning to take place, and that was beginning to happen, even with the sin, because God placed a promise on them that he gave his word, and it was sovereign, and it was going to come to pass. So the Lord in Leviticus, all of the book of Leviticus, if you've read it, which I finally come to understand just a few years ago, that the book of Leviticus was God actually putting things back in order through the priestly function and the priestly orders, why it's so... sometimes so like, oh, to do this, you know, like such rules, because it was actually restoring restoring the priesthood, which was the main focus, was the high priest over the book of Leviticus, and he was resetting the order for the people to return to the Lord. So he was creating a way for them to come back to him. And the only way that they had at that time, that wasn't time for Jesus, you know, to walk in the earth and for the Messiah to come, this is what they had in place for them to come back to the Lord, was that they had the priest. So he had to set all that back in order so that they could return to him. And but his desire, like the back current of that, or the undercurrent of all of that, all of those rules and regulations, was that so that the people could approach God with this intimate presence. And he needed to clean up the contamination that was happening in the world. But the undercurrent was he wanted them a place for them to approach him with an intimate presence. And at that time, it was through the priest. So Leviticus 26:11 says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you, but I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. That's a beautiful invitation and a beautiful promise, and something to look forward to. And then they also talks about with the Israelites. They're also talking about the offering and the first fruits of what they did. So they were very much still creating in the people while it was the law, okay, but they were still, what it was doing was instilling and establishing in the people a way for them to be distinguished and honorable and remember the Lord and all that he has done for them, and that they would do that in an honorable, they would be a people that do that in an honorable way, that were dedicated to the Lord. Okay, so I had been thinking about this verse in Numbers 11 for a while, and the priesthood and going back to that. And I actually had kept seeing even the number 8:11 and knowing, okay, I need to go back and look that up. And it's something with the priesthood and the priest, something with the priest. I need to pursue that a little bit more before the Lord. And the Sunday, when we were in service, it was just a tag on to some other stuff that was being talked about. But the very last element of it was about the priesthood. And I said, oh, this is interesting. This is coming up again. So I jotted down the verses, and I'm not going to share all of them, just the ones that I felt were relevant to what the Lord was showing in the in this, okay? So the wave offering, going back to the book of Numbers, the wave offering was a way for them to show peace and their service to God, okay? So they were slaves for a while, going to and fro, and God rescued them. He rescued them, and in that period, they were to use that time for prayer for family as well, to pray and for family. And I do believe I see the Lord doing this and restoring the priesthood unto us, and what our role is in that, right? Setting those things in order for us as a royal priesthood, removing those things that have cleaning up the contaminations that have spilled over into our lives as well, and to but it's for to restore intimate presence, to approach Him with intimate presence, which many of us do have here at PGN, but also to restore how they relate to God, because they couldn't relate to each other functionally the way the Lord called them to until they first related to God. And I believe this is a place where the Lord has us, and then even in a place where we will help restore the church and the church body, where we are as we relate to God more and more, and how He calls us to be dedicated and set apart to Him. So there was some grief, if you will, for the trespass in Leviticus. And it was more the trespass, really, on some of the offerings and the sins that they made were, again, from man to man. And they were to restore the love and the joy, the peace and the forgiveness. And again, like I said, it was more to restore first. The order was to restore to God first, so that they could relate and get along with each other. And again, they couldn't get along with their neighbor, you know, and relate to that until they related to God. And so there was a holiness and a purity that happened during that time. And it was both with the Levites and the Nazarites. So, and it wasn't just special groups. It was every Israelite participated in the daily offerings and sacrifices and occasional festivals. So Samson and John the Baptist are two of the most famous Nazarites in the Bible. And Paul took a Nazarite vow in Jerusalem in Acts 21:21. So, and then we become, as we do this, we become mediators between God and the world. And through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and testifying unto Him and giving testimony unto Him. Okay, so I'm going to read in 1 Peter, the first part of 1 Peter. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Now, I did not listen to the program last night. I ended up falling asleep a little bit early. And so if any of this, as a disclaimer. So put aside every trace of malice and all deceit, envy and all slander and hateful speech. Like newborn babes, you should long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you will be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation, its ultimate fulfillment. If in fact you have already tasted the goodness and gracious kindness of the Lord, come to Him, the risen Lord, as a living stone which men rejected and threw away, by which is choice and precious in the sight of God. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood. This is exactly the same likeliness, exactly the same pattern, but yet now we're in the New Testament as they did in the Old Testament, right? Because Jesus hadn't come yet, but because of the restoration and the dispensation of grace and walking in the light, being removed from darkness and walking in the light, now we are called to be in this holy and dedicated priesthood that he offers us to. And it is first to restore, to clean up any contaminations we may have, like we read in verses 1 through 3, and continually, right? Because we can continually be hurt, you know, the things that are in front of us, the things that are behind us, you know, and the things that we yet see, that, you know, darts that are being thrown and hurled our way. You know, but we would grow in respect of salvation, you know, and being built up into the spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. So we know that our righteousness is through him and by his grace. But this is contained in scripture. Behold, I am laying a stone. I am laying in Zion a chosen stone, a precious, honored cornerstone. And he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on, will never be disappointed in his expectations. And we want to pray that. We want to pray that even through our priesthood, right? And we're praying things where we're not asking amiss. We're asking according to the word, according to the promise, and especially for our own households, right? So the Levites and our own tribes, right? That's what the Levites did. That's first who they ministered to were those that they were in the camp with, right? And those that were around them and their neighbors. Precious value then is for you who believe in him as God's only son, the source of salvation. But for those who disbelieve, the very stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they disobey the word of God. And to this, they who reject him as Savior were also appointed. Verse 9, which is where I wanted to land anyways, was this. But this is the process on how we reach our priesthood. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. It's not just a regular priesthood. It's a royal, now we've been called a royal priesthood. And I wonder if this royal priesthood is esteemed even more above the Nazarites and above the Levites, right? And there were some things even in the law, as you probably know, is that through the law, not all sins was there a sacrifice or redemption of sin that could happen, that they could sacrifice an animal or a goat or a bird or whatever that priest might say, right? Because some of them were like, you died. There was no forgiveness for that sin under the law. So if you harmed or killed someone else, then you had to die. Committed adultery, you were stoned, you died, right? So not all the sins in the law were redemptive. They were not. That's why we don't walk under the law anymore. So now we are a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, yes, because of mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so they're just encouraging them to live, conduct themselves in an honorable and gracious and with integrity. And for whatever reason that they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to the glory of God in the day of visitation when he looks upon them with mercy. So it is very counterintuitive to our human nature how to walk in the excellencies of God's wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections, and to know to be patient with all as he covers them with his mercy, and he's going to cover them with his mercy, but continue to pray, even as royal priesthood and chosen ones, to continue to pray and believe and trust on and rely on the Lord, that as we pray according to his word, we will not be disappointed, and God's expectation of mercy being poured out to your loved ones, to your family, to your neighbors, again, those in your tribe, those in your workplace, those where you have a natural authority and natural placement to intercede and to have an effect on them, you know, as they did in the Old Testament. They lived in tribes, and they lived in, you know, those close by them, close knit to them and by them. And those are your people. Those are the people for you to intercede and to pray. But first we need to restore how we relate to God and our royal priesthood, and being able to receive it and accept it and even ask him, you know, as to receive it and to pray. Teach me to pray as a royal, in the royal priesthood. Teach me to pray. In Jesus' name, right? Teach me to pray. So in Ephesians 2, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it was by God's grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we want to ask the Lord, too, as a priesthood, as a royal priesthood, for these fruits. Their fruits, if God's prepared that in advance for us, we want to take a hold of what the Lord's prepared for us, right? We know that that's his will. We know, right, and it says to do in Colossians that we do the will of God, that it's good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is a revelation of what his will is for us, is that we do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do, to be fruitful in this land and take possession. So it's very much, the New Testament is very parallel and very much with the same theme, if you will, but the same correlation. But now we have Jesus, the Messiah has come, and he's done away with the old law. Jesus fulfilled the old law completely and has established his new grace and his new mercy that is beyond the law. And yes, and establishing his kingdom on earth, his spiritual kingdom, and walking in that. And there's certainly still we can learn from instructions of all things, right, all throughout Scripture. So Revelation 1:6, and he has freed us from our sins by his blood. So it's by his blood we are freed from sins. And we know this, to offer to others as a priesthood by the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over that sin, you know, and the workplace. My daughter used to have very contaminated work environment at this particular building when she was going to college and she worked part-time. It was very contaminated. And I just used to, you know, she used to tell me some emails she used to get. And I said, those are so not appropriate. And, I just prayed the blood of Jesus over her computer and her desk and her workplace and her steps when she walked through that building. It was very uncomfortable for a young person to, in fact, I think she might have worked in there her senior year, her last semester, her senior year, which she would have put her as an intern and the youngest person in that building, and some of that stuff that was happening was just not right. And in the long run, which was years later, there were people who were fired because of what was happening. It just was not good, but I would pray the blood of Jesus to cover, so the blood of Jesus to cover that. So in verse 6, it says, he has made us, in Revelation 1:6, let me start over. He has freed us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us, he has made you, and he has made me a kingdom of priests to serve God the Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is exactly the same as which they did in Numbers 8:11 when Aaron presented the wave offering. And the wave offering was for the peace, to show peace with God and our service to God, right? And it's the same thing. He has made us a priest to serve God and the Father. Wow. And to him be the glory and the power forever. And, one prayer that I've been praying is that the Lord be glorified in my life. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in my life. And when I say that, even now it just moves my heart. But I think back to this in verse 9 and 1 Peter 2:9, where it says, because of this, okay, you're a royal priesthood, consecrated people for God's own possession, it's amplified, so that you may proclaim, here it is, this is how God's going to be glorified, proclaim the excellencies of his wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And receiving his mercy and being a testimony unto that, whether that be written, whether that be verbal, or whether that be where people just see it, they are actually experiencing that same mercy in front of you, within the congregation, within God's people, within the world, an extension of that, that would be offered to God's people, that they might awaken. Okay, not God's people, but will God's people awaken to serve the world, to be the mediator between God and the world, to become that mediator and to stand in the gap for that. And when the Lord lays something on your heart that's difficult, to step out in faith and reach somebody in faith with word and deed, to say yes to that, because you are the marvelous light. You are declaring the excellencies of God to this person's life, to wake them up to come to the kingdom of God by God's mercy and by his blood. He is calling them and desiring them to be his own. Okay, Revelation 5:10 says, you have been made to be a kingdom and a priest. Oh, I just read that. I'm sorry. This is very similar to Revelation 1:6. Revelation 5:10 says, you have been made to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God, and you will reign on the earth, which is very similar to, so we are to subdue, and rule, just putting those words together, over the earth. So we are to rule over the earth because we are God's mediators. From God to the world, we are now standing in the gap for that as a royal priesthood that has been placed upon us, and God's placed his blessing on us. He's prayed, that blessing and the release of the priestly blessing to be upon us, and that we would go forth and that we would do that. And it's very similar, that Revelation 5:10, while it sounds very similar to Revelation 1:6, it is very much an illustration, a parallel in Genesis. When God created the world, he created the sea and the skies and, separated day and night and the land. And then once he created it, then it correlates with the, so the first 3 days he created, and then the days 3 through 6, he actually took and filled that. He filled the sky, he filled the sea, and he filled the land. So when God creates something, he creates it, he sees that it's good, and then he fills it. And he did the same for you, and he did the same for me. And we are to rule. We are created by him, and we've been filled by him to rule and to reign on the earth, to bring his marvelous light as mediators to this world. Revelation 22:4. They will see his face, name will be on their forehead. There will be no more night, and there will be no need for light of the lamp of the, or light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. You know, I don't think I shared this here, but I'm thinking of it tonight. I think it, when it actually happened, I was going to share a testimony of something the Lord did, but because when it actually happened, the day that it happened, I was really, I knew that the Lord, I definitely knew it was the Lord, and I knew that I definitely understood in a different way than I had before, that it was by the grace of God that he gave me the strength, that it was actually the Lord who gave me the strength to step out to do what I did. And I was on my way to church to pray, and this was probably about a month ago, and I did not share it. After it initially happened, because it felt like a holy moment too, and I didn't. So, but as I was reading some of this, I felt like the Lord put this on my heart, and so that I'm going to be faithful to continue to follow him as he breathes and shows me. So, I was going there to pray and to do some other stuff there, seek the Lord for some stuff, that a door had been opened to me at the church. So I was praying about that and praying for the church and doing, you know, setting up a watch and just spending a couple hours there. And on my way, when I go there, I stop and get a smoothie. It just helps me. It's refreshing. It's relaxing. And it's just something different I don't normally do. So anyways, when I stopped in, there was a man. I don't think I shared this. Maybe I did. I don't know. There was a man on the bench, and he was a homeless man. And he was laying down. Maybe I did share this. Maybe I did. I don't remember. He was laying down, and it was one of the nights where here in the Carolinas, the temperature had dropped to almost freezing, like it was like a frost type of thing, which was odd, and for April or whatever. And so he was laying in the sun. The sun was coming up over the building, and he was clearly in the sun. Like, I knew he chose that spot to be directly in the sun. And it was probably maybe 11:30 or so. And when I got on my car and I went in, I said to myself, what is he doing there? Because he looked so out of place. It was so out of place for the location. It was just very out of place. And so when I was in the store, I thought they had juice in a cabinet. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just get him a juice and I won't bother him and just like leave the juice next to him. So he has something refreshing and hydrating when he gets up. And there was really nothing in the case that was normal. Everything was green, purified, and not everyone appreciates that. So I was like, well, I better not do that. So I went to my car, but it was still lingering, right? So this like thought of him, it was still lingering. So I went to my car and I couldn't leave. It was just like the Holy Spirit just could not leave. So I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then that's when my heart would start pounding. You know, my heart would start racing. I could, you know, you could just, you know, that experience, like something's about to happen. Like, like spiritual worlds are about to collide, and you're the one that, you know, and the Lord's, you know, basically you're the one that's going to step into it and make this collision happen, you know, and open your mouth, you know. And so, and I was thinking, you know, when he was laying there, I was watching him, he wasn't moving. So I thought for sure he was sleeping still. And I didn't want to wake him up. And I did say to the Lord, it would feel a lot better if I knew he really wasn't sleeping or he was awake of some sort. And so then I seen him move around and shift around a little bit. So I thought, well, that's good. And but I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And so I had some money in my wallet, and I did think, well, maybe that was too much money. Honestly, I did think that. Maybe that was too much money. But the Lord was like, well, like, how long have you had that in your wallet, and what are you really going to do with it? And I thought, I really don't have a plan for it. I really don't have a plan for it. And, I mean, I thought it was too much money in the sense of then he could have bought maybe alcohol or something like that. That's what I thought for that purpose. And so I thought, okay, so that was settled. And I put it in my hand. I put all my stuff down, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He showed me to give him this money, and I said, what do you want me to say? And the Lord impressed upon my heart to tell him to get something to eat with it, and that he is to call a family member to reconcile. He needs to reconcile something with a family member. So I said a prayer. I got out of the car, walked, locked my items in the car, walked up around my car the opposite way, like behind my car in the parking lot, and then came up on the side, like where he was. And there was a little sidewalk and then a little thing of like shrubbery. And I kind of stayed on the side where the shrubbery was, so I wasn't real close to him because, you know, and I said, excuse me, sir, excuse me. I said that 2-3 times, you know. And because you just don't know what people are going to do when they wake up and be startled, you know. I mean, he wasn't expecting me to come, so I didn't want to get too close. And so, you know, then he opened his eyes. He was actually listening to something, which I didn't see. I guess he had it under this little jacket. He was listening to something in his ears. And I handed that to him. And then I said, sir, the Lord Jesus is visiting you today, and I'm giving you this money. He asked me to give this to you so that you can get up, get something to eat, and you need to call a family member. And I think there's something like that you need to reconcile with a family member. You need to call family and reconcile something with them. And I said, is this true? So when I said, is that true? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, well, I want you to know that the Lord, you are on the Lord's heart. He sees you, and you are on the Lord's heart today, and he's giving you this, and this is your thing for today. Like he's saying to you today, I mean, I don't know how I said that, but go ahead, get up, get yourself something to eat, which is a grocery store right there, like, you know, 12, not far from where he was. Get yourself something to eat, and then you need to humble, even if you need to humble yourself, I said, you need to call that family member and reconcile with them, make that phone call. And so I just blessed you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I left. And I don't know what happened. I was a little shaken. I just realized when I got to the church, the Lord gave me the strength to do that. He gave me the courage and the strength to step out to do that. And, you know, and I just blessed that man. And when I came home, I shared it with my husband, and I was just like in like a puddle, which I shared before with people. I don't know what it was. There was something very deep that happened within me out of obedience. That the Lord did, and so to God be the glory. I don't know what happened. I heard later that that same church was ministering to some homeless people. One of them did come. Oh, I did ask him his name. He told me his name is James, if you want to continue to pray for him and his protection and his safety and his salvation. And they told me later that, and I don't know that it was the same week, but one of the men that they have been ministering to in that area was homeless, and then he came to the church, and I had asked what his name was, and they said it was a different, so I don't know if it was a different man or the same man, I don't know, but they helped him get, he needed, the man that they were ministering to needed work boots, excuse me, so they helped him get some boots so that he could, new work boots for, So he attended the church that particular Sunday. I wasn't there. Again, I don't know if it's the same man, but there was a work being done in the church to minister to homeless and people on the streets, which isn't uncommon here for in the big city, which I'm sure your city has that as well. But they join forces, you know, they join forces with other ministries that are closer to the inner city so that they can kind of do training and go out two by two and all that kind of thing. So to God be the glory in that. And when he calls you to step out to do that and faithfulness, and even, you know that when you do, you know, that thing that says, like, if I leave here, I'm going to regret that I didn't obey the Lord. If I walk away from this, if I leave here, pretend it doesn't exist, and silencing the Holy Spirit, kind of like Jonah did. He never said anything, right? He didn't say no, but at the same time, his actions said no, and he departed and, you know, went the other way. So we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm sure I've made those errors over my lifespan and fear or whatever it might be, and not recognizing what it actually feels like when you're called to do it and then you actually do it, step in saying yes to the Holy Spirit and then actually doing it, like that process, that natural process that happens inside of you. Because again, it's like two spiritual worlds are colliding, and you feel, I mean, I pick that up in my spirit. I think other people do as well. I mean, as soon as I said to my husband, when my heart started pounding, my husband goes, oh, I know the feeling. Oh, I know that feeling. Like, I know how that happens, you know? So it does. I think it happens to all of us. In that sense. So it wasn't something that I did to prove something or like, hey, I got something you need kind of a thing. It was humbling for me to really, honestly, literally, after I spoke about it, really did break me. It was like, and I feel like I couldn't even talk about it when I was at the church and tell anyone or share the testimony because I just knew I was going to lose it. Like if I did, I would just lose it. And I wasn't understanding everything that was happening, you know, but the Lord was showing me things in his word where he actually strengthened me to do that. It was God in me. And he was just showing me his fellowship and his intimacy more and more. And so I'm grateful for that. And I share that, I guess, quite vulnerable, I will say, and openly, because I've never learned more than when I hear other people share testimony. I've learned so much when they're so open about how and what the Lord has done in their life through various things, you know, in their prayer closet, you know, in their marriage, with their children, whatever it might be, in their church, how the Lord leads them in the word. That testimony is precious and to be esteemed because it brings God glory in Jesus' name. So may that happen more and more, and may we have healing in the priesthood through the kingdom of God. May there be healing. May the contaminations be cleaned up so we can return to a royal priesthood that he's called us to, so that we can first and foremost know how to relate to him, so that we know how to relate to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's open the phone lines. Thank you for letting me share. 850-879. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay, I can. I'm calling from Thomasville, Georgia. My name is Sharika.
Hey, Sharika, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. Great message there from you.
Thank you.
Definitely think I needed that. I also wanted to ask for just some insight or prayer in regards to purpose. Helping me to hear and see more of whatever it is that God wants me to do. Open my heart up to and my mind up to as well.
Okay.
Pretty much the gist of it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's precious. I know when we're seeking the Lord, he does, that hunger. that hunger will open up places for us. And we just have to be ready in the sense of we don't know how he's going to answer or when always. Sometimes it's not in that particular prayer time, but we have to keep our eyes and our heart open to how he does answer, because sometimes it can seem very casual or very unexpected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, let me pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sharika, God. In Jesus' name, I pray for her right now, God, where she's at in Georgia, God, that you would just put like that pincushion on a map, exactly where she's at, God, exactly this evening, God, on May 25th, Father, and we lift her up in prayer, God, in agreement with what she's asking for, God, that she would hear, that she would see more of God and know, God, in her heart and her mind, what to do, God, in Jesus' name, God. We thank you for your impartation by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray for the blood of Jesus over her life, called her, and you set her forth, God, and you have a destiny for her, God, that you would call forth that seed of those promises upon her life, God. You would call them forth in the name of Jesus. I pray that she would even pray in agreement with the prophecies that have been prayed over her, God, and released over her life, God, as well as the word of God and the promises, Lord, that you've placed in her, God. I pray, God, that she would pay attention as well to the desires within her heart, Lord, and the longings, like things that have maybe been there for some time. In Jesus' name, Lord, that she would place those before you as well, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, and the things that she does know to do according to your word, God, that she would do them faithfully, God, and that you would use those, Lord, to unlock things, like those would be the keys, God, and you would use them to unlock things, God, for increase and in storehouses as well. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for drawing those things out in the name of Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament and the Hebrew time, we still do it here too. Like I did it with my kids. You probably did it with yours if you have children. But There were two things. They had identity. Their identity, like they were establishing their identity. And then once the identity is established, then they're set forth into their destiny. And that's how it is in the Hebrew thing. So even their name, that's why their name is very important. And it'll say like what tribe they came from and the meaning of their name and why that was so important. And it all came from that. And then we, you know, as Americans and people today, we still do it, right? We want to name our child something that, like, what does that name mean, you know? And then there's like the top 15 names, the top 10 names, and it's really what they mean. What are the popular names and what do these names mean, you know, or what are they derived from? Some people don't care, but most people do. The majority of people do. Well, in the Hebrew, it was from the identity. From part of their identity is where they came from, who they were connected to, and what their name was that had great meaning and great result. And that's why it's even recorded in scripture. And then, like names, specific names are recorded in scripture because of that reason as well. And then out of that came, right, so in the Hebrew, like when the young people reached, you know, teenage, 13 or whatever, the boys did the bar mitzvah thing. That's when they did, then their destiny started to come forth, right? So they had there was a process of celebrations that they had and different, you know, things that they did. A lot of it was derived from the celebrations that the Lord asked them to do and their faith, around their faith. But then they started to call forth their destiny in their lives, you know, and it's the same really for us in some way, because the Lord, when he saves us and then he grows us in the faith where we come to learn really who we are in him. And then as we learn that and grow in it and receive it and that identity becomes our identity, then he starts to move us into our destiny, like our call, which I would call our calling. Like, what are you fit and equipped to do by God's design that he created you for, you know? And part of that's going to be a delight to you. It's going to be something that is delightful to you. Hence, there is going to be a form of work because we are co-laborers of Christ, but there also is going to be a form of, it's very suited and fitted. Like, you're going to feel like you're hardwired to do it, if you will, you know?
Right.
It's just what comes out of you. So I say that to say two things I thought of when one is just before you were talking and then when I was praying. There was one time I was, so this was being watchful, for what I was praying about, something about what the Lord, if he wanted me to have a job, I would get a job. This was many years ago, okay? And so, look, I would get a job if he wanted me to get a job, but I needed him to show me and to lead me and yada, yada, yada. I was in a Bible study, okay? I forget how I was in a Bible study with these women, and I got an email through one of the leaders. I was outside of their sphere of influence. I think it was their Bible study was actually posted online as well through, I forget who it was. I think it was Kay Arthur. And so, but the leader sent out this email and said, hey, this particular church is hiring people for their morning, their preschool department or whatever. If anyone knows anyone, they're looking for people. Okay. And I thought, well, this is weird. I had asked the Lord and now I got this email, like how many people get an email regarding getting a job?
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll just pursue this and see what becomes of it. Cause what if this is the Lord? Like I asked them and then like a few days later, so it was very casual. I will say this is I could have missed that because it was so casual in the email and something very ordinary throughout my day.
Right.
So I'm just saying be mindful of the things that are casual and ordinary. God might tuck a message in there for you, tuck in his, you know, because your words were you want to hear and see. God moves more. Yeah, so he would open your spiritual understanding, like in Colossians 1:9, your spiritual wisdom and your understanding. Okay, so, and then the second thing was one time I used to do when I was first saved, I used to do children's church, and I learned a lot about the Bible doing children, just volunteering and doing children's church for years, many years. One summer there was, and one of the illustrations they had for the kids was to make their own personal license plate. And they were just to color it, like make it the size of license plate, but put it in their, you know, like the license plate represents the state. Like they were to put things on this license plate that represented them, that they loved to do. So when people looked at it, like it would kind of a little bit tell a story about who they were, you know?
Right.
And so one summer I was just praying and interceding and seeking the Lord. I thought, I'm going to do that. It seems a little, not elementary, but simple. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to really see and ask the Lord, what is in my heart? And what he did was he began to draw things out of my heart, which is what a father does and a destiny for a child. And that's where the destiny part came in. And so as I did that, and I wrote those things, it literally changed my life and the trajectory of my life and where I started to go after that and what I seen. Like I knew, I just was in the moment. I was praying and fasting and just asking the Lord, what's really in my heart? What do I really, you know, what do I really like? What do I really love? How am I like created to be kind of a thing, you know? And just the things that I put on. And then after my fasting time and I looked at that, I just thought, yeah, like I'm supposed to develop this thing more, you know? And
right.
It really did. It really was a drawing out. I mean, you don't have to do the license plate thing, but it just it drew
right.
out my destiny. And that's what, like he reminded me and showed me, hey, you love this. This is inside
right.
of you. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, Sharika, I'm sorry. That,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
but the Lord would.
You to say specifically to me or anything.
No, I'm just encouraging you with those two illustrations to
right.
be mindful when seeking the Lord. If he puts something on your heart or you remember, oh, yeah, I really do love that, or I really
right.
do, it's him drawing out the destiny. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
personally, it helps me when I write it down.
Right, me too.
Because, okay, yeah, because sometimes I think, oh, I'm not going to forget that. That was too powerful. But then later on, like I do, like 2 weeks later, I might forget that, you know.
Exactly.
And then just to be mindful in the ordinary and in the common, he might have something tucked in there. Just be aware of things in the ordinary and things in the common places. He sometimes sends an answer that way.
Right. Yeah, he does that all the time, I think.
Yeah.
being very analytical about stuff and like, well, what if this is me talking to me versus God talking? You know, so I guess I'm speaking specifics, but I know it doesn't always come that way. However,
yes.
that is how my mind operates.
Yes.
So I'm trying
yes.
to.
Yes, and yeah, and the Lord sometimes prepares us that way to receive from Him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just whatever it is you're hearing, like you were saying, is this me or is this him? And, you know, when I first started hearing the Lord or even just like taking Bible studies and, you know, doing different things, I would say, Lord, I'm not sure if this is you, but I would cultivate what I would call cultivating the Holy Spirit and take a step of faith, have some type of action of faith that I would put out before him. And so that I could learn to grow in his and to know what it was like within my own soul and within recognizing the spirit within me as well.
Right. Right. Well, I've been told quite a few things from various people, and I believe it, some of it to be true, because I don't know these people from anywhere. And I know that sometimes it is God speaking. I do feel like it has been. However, it's like for me, it's like, well, I feel like I need that definite confirmation from God, you know, versus from what people say. However, I do know that those messages do through people too. So I'm just in a little conflict with that. You know, it's like, I want to hear it specifically from God, but God speaks through people all the time, right? So I just, I have to get over that part, I think.
And that's where I think, too, like, I would pray those prophetic words and kind of place them before the Lord and ask the Lord to even confirm his own word, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because if that was a rhema word spoken from the throne room of grace or God's counsel, you know, and wisdom, then the Lord will confirm his word too, yeah. Because sometimes I've gotten words where, and I'm not talking about here, but sometimes I've gotten words where I think, I don't even know what that is about. Like, I don't know, like I just can't place it. And then I'll say to the Lord, and because it's not that I don't want to receive it, and I'm not being, I just say to the Lord, like, I don't know where to place that right now, but bring that to my remembrance when that comes about, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. Right. I don't know where that's going to land right now with what's going on. I just don't know, you know? And then there's other things where I think, like, okay, that word, I don't know specifics about that word, but there's a couple instances or situations that could apply to that. And if it's a good word, like, and depending on who's speaking it, and I think, Lord, let it be so. If that's for this situation, then let it be so. You know, just like Mary received that word, it was, it should so be it unto me, right? And I just say, let it be so. If that's for this situation, I haven't seen it yet, but let it be so. Like, which I'm basically saying, I come in agreement with what you're saying, and my faith does, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then it'll show itself.
Yeah. Yeah, then so be it. I think I was I don't know if it was last week, but I feel like it was, but I don't know if it was. I was sharing about how I was encouraging another mom and a thing. Well, another mom was actually there, and she heard me saying about praying prophetic words that have been spoken over your children, or promises that the Lord's given you, or prophetic words that you've had prayed for your children, to pray that through just like you would the logos promises of God, you know. And at the time she said, oh, well, I didn't know you could do that. I said, well, yes, you know. And so she started praying that, and it was just a few months later, literally like 2 to 4 months later, her son returned to the Lord.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I pray with kids all the time. They're younger, so I do.
But people
do that.
Will begin to speak into their lives, and leave like little gems and little, you know, glimmers of light. What the Lord's doing, and then just come into, you know, just like where it says Mary pondered these things in her heart, meaning, you know, like, okay, there's something to this, you know? Yeah.
Right. Gotta be.
Yeah. But you belong to the Lord and you are his, and, you know, he has sealed you with his Holy Spirit. And he has called you and you are his own. You know, he calls you by name. And he knows how many hairs are on your head. And, you know, he's created you and wonderfully and fearfully made you and designed you. So he has not forgotten you in any way. You know, it says Jesus ever liveth to make intercession on our behalf. So Jesus is actually interceding on your behalf right now by name, you know. and praying, you know, that for those things to be accomplished. But certainly when you are seeking and asking for more, and you know, just that hunger, that spiritual true hunger, the Lord is going to meet you.
Right. I just feel like I've been through so much, and you would look at me, you would think I've been through nothing, but I've been through so much, and I know that I have, like, this really big testimony. However, most of my family members are like, you should tell your story, and I'm like, oh, it's not time. It's not time for me to do that, you know. I just kind of, and I don't like the attention too much either, or
yeah,
the pity or anything. So I just, and that
I
is
totally
fear.
Get that.
Probably some a bit of fear too. So
yeah,
and that's it. But I just kind of like wait on the Lord to say, okay, sure, I release you to go. You need to tell your story. I've had a pastor tell me you need to start writing a book. He literally told me this. I don't know him. He contacted me out of nowhere and told me I needed to write a book. And I'm, like, still stuck on that, you know, because I've heard that numerous times, the time for you to write your story.
Well, yeah, that's
and
funny because I was just going to say, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say that, have you written any of your story out? Like, have you begun to write any of your story out when you were saying it's not ready, it's not time to share it, like, verbally, but it may be, you know, that he's having you. I was going to ask you that, and then you said that.
Wow, interesting. So, yeah, when I hear this numerous times, it's obviously something I need to do. No, I have a computer. I bought a computer, and it's for that purpose. I have not started typing yet, and so I need to start. I mean, I'm going to pray about it, but I think at this point I've heard it so many times from really spiritual people. Not just, you know, that I should write. I need to start writing my story about everything that's happened in my life or whatever. So
I would bet that in and through your story, you probably have even, like, shorter versions of testimonies. Do you know what I mean? Like, this happened during this season. Yeah. Right.
It's a bunch of testimonies after testimony after testimony to the point where I'm like, what is it that you want me to do, God? Because I don't like, why do I have to keep
sometimes watching? You know what? Sometimes this might be helpful. Okay, one, I want to say this to you, because when you said, these were your words, though, I have a computer and I bought a computer for that purpose, but I haven't started doing it yet. Pray about it. But you already bought it for that purpose. So I do want to, this is what I want to pray, because when you said that, I was like, well, this is what I want to pray, is that we ordain that computer for the purposes of God, which you already know what they are, but that your computer is ordained for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that he would bless the work of your hands. And, you know, that's the spirit of wisdom. And, you know, and just scribing, even what I was saying in 1 Peter 2, right, the people, God's own possession, right, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, amplified, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And whether you do that verbally or written, and I might have said that early on, maybe you weren't dialed in yet, but
no.
Yeah.
You said it. I heard you. I was like, wow.
Oh, I did say it. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you are ordained to, I mean, you already know, according to the word, we're to share, you know, we're to share. And if out of your own confession, you know, you said that you bought this computer for that purpose, then we ordain it for the purposes of God.
Right. And then
I would just start writing. I would not judge it. Yeah, I would not judge it, you know, and saying, oh, I'm not a writer, I'm not an author or whatever.
No.
Just start writing. Just start writing and let God.
I do believe that I've always loved to write. I've always loved writing.
Oh, girl.
So,
oh, my gosh. This is wonderful.
I'm great with my hands. I've been told about my hands, or I need to use my hands. My hands, I have good power. I need to use
them.
You know
what?
So,
I'm so excited
and
for you. Really, I and you.
I can draw and all of that. Like, my hands are.
Really?
I've been told.
You could do your own illustrations.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I know that
the Lord is just...
Wait, say that last
part again.
I know that my blessings will come through my hands and my mind, because that's my hands are... They get on fire sometimes, so I know that there's something about them, about my hands. I do know that. I've been told that as well, too, though. But again, you know, sometimes you have to just believe in what God has given you.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It just took a while for me to believe that, but I do believe my hands are powerful.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's wonderful, and I'm so glad. Really, I do feel like it was the Holy Spirit that had you call this evening and join us and encourage you to continue to share your testimony. And even if you, even if you want to share just a snippet of any testimony with us, you know, not anything lengthy, but like a snippet of anything just verbally, I want to invite you to do that. But I do want to pray, so while you're thinking about that, I'm going to pray and that your computer be ordained for the purposes of God. And then just begin to write. Just even if you spend 10 minutes a day, 30 minutes a week, just choose some type of dedication before the Lord of what you want to do. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And I heard one time someone who write a book, they knew the Lord was calling them to write the book. And so some days they said they would go in front of their computer, and some days they would write like 10 pages, and then other days it would be like a paragraph. But what they did was they dedicated themselves to the Lord every time they got in front of their computer. And
right.
I think this is ministering to other people as well. Somehow I just feel like this is ministering to others. Or whatever that is, maybe he's called other people to put their hands to do. They dedicated that time when they came before the Lord. And then if there was nothing, they didn't push it. And then sometimes when they started writing, then it started flowing, you know. And it just happened in all different ways. But they accomplished this book, and it was, I forget what the name of it was, but I just remember them sharing it and how interesting it was, how it actually came about, you know?
Wow. Because they did what they were obedient.
Yeah.
The Lord.
Yeah. And a lot of times, exactly. Yeah. They took the dedication and the obedience. And a lot of times when people share their testimony, a lot of people have written books about their testimony, and that just gives them a greater way to be heard. There's somebody who, I don't remember, I wish I could remember who quoted this and who said this, but they said, if you have something important to say, write it down. You'll reach more people.
Gotcha. I'm typing it as we speak.
Yeah, I always remember that. Maybe. Okay, so Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this, God. We thank you for the open door of this, God, and open heaven, Lord, because this, I believe, is even answered a prayer. Just right, this was common and this was ordinary, but it actually unlocked something for you to hear and to see, and that's exactly what your prayer was, God. And so we rejoice with you, Father, and we thank you, Lord. We want your, Lord, and desire that your marvelous light would come through, God. And I know it's the desire of everyone listening, God, and dialed in, Lord, that in their life, you would be glorified. You would be glorified, God, and we give testimony to that, God, written and verbal testimony unto you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And may this increase in our lives more and more, God, more and more, God, opportunity for us to speak, opportunity for us to share, God, that you would organize our thoughts, God, that you would organize our ways and our steps, and that you would open those doors for us to have favor and the grace on our lives to encourage others, God, to lift them up and to encourage others and to speak into the generations as well, God, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you for her computer, God, for she purchased it as a confession of her own mouth, Lord. She purchased it for that, God, and I pray, God, that it would be ordained, God, that you would bless her hands as she works, Lord, and ordain her time and commitment and dedication and obedience unto you, God, and you would just bless that. We ask for the oil of heaven to be upon that, God, as she's ordained that for you, like a royal priesthood. You know, it's ordained for you, and it's your priesthood, and you just, between you and God, and you just let that flow. And then the rest of us who read your book, which I want to read your book, will be brought into like these inner courts and these inner experiences that you've had with the Lord that you're just expressing on paper because it's been ordained and dedicated unto him and your royal priesthood, you know, giving testimony to him in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. To that.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling. It was such a blessing.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to me. And if you want, I can give you a really, really short 1-2 minute testimony.
Yes, please do. Yes, yes. Thank you.
So the Lord tends to show me things in dreams as well all the time. Pretty much. But the Lord spoke to me about 4 years ago and told me that, Sharika, you're going to have a hard time, but you're going to get through it. That's his exact words. You're going to have a hard time, but you're going to get through it. And so I didn't know what he was talking about, but I told my mom. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm fixing to have a hard time. But evidently, I'm going to get through it, right? So my mom was like, okay. So within about a month or two from that point, I got diagnosed. I started having really bad pains on my left side, and it was my spleen. My spleen was swelling up, and I was in very excruciating pain. I had to be hospitalized. And from there, as you know, that pain, it really hurts. From there, I was hospitalized, and I had to go to my primary doctors, and they had to figure out what was going on with me. They found that I had lupus, and I diagnosed with that. So all kind of pain from that just started coming on set, like right after God gave me that message. And then from there, other things started happening with my body internally, my organs, my liver, all kind of things. And then from there also they found that I have a blood clotting condition. So it's just like so many things, like after one thing after the next, that have been to some degree life threatening, and I'm still on medication for those things to this day. And that's just a small portion of it. But long story short, God spoke to me, told me what was about to happen. It happened. Things are just now getting better. because I continued to have faith that I was going to be all right, that everything was going to be okay, because he told me everything's going to be okay. But this was a
right.
this was a period of my life that I had to go through for someone else. It's not about me. I'm in this pain, and I go through pain every day, but it's not about me at all. It's to encourage people to continue to have faith through that pain, right?
Yeah,
to continue
wow,
yes. To continue to think positive, be positive, to look good, even in your, if you see me right now, you have no idea anything's wrong with me at all. Because I know that God is around me and the Holy Spirit is here keeping me, you know, looking great on the outside, feeling painful on the inside. However, it's for a greater cause. I know that God's going to help a lot of people through my story. And that's just a little bit of it, but I do advise people, anybody that's listening, to just always listen. He gives us those messages. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. I listened that particular time, and I got ready for what was coming, you know, and it came, and it's still here. It's not as bad as it was, but he warned me. He gives us warnings about things. So listen, take heed, let everybody know. Don't be afraid to let the people that matter to you know, so that they can get ready too. And you're not speaking anything over your life. You're just letting them know what God said, and it's okay. Don't
yeah.
be afraid. So,
right, and
it.
You know what? And you are still holding fast to his. You're going to be okay.
Yes.
You know, and you're
today.
Still holding fast to that. And so even, but listen, we even read that and somewhat a glimmer of that even this evening in verse 6, where it says, "For he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trust in and relies on him will never be disappointed in his expectations." And you're expecting him to come through in his word and what he spoke to you. And so are we. We're believing and holding fast to his word for you as well, that you're going to be okay. And he will bring that to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. I hope that gets the... juices flowing for you. Yeah. Wrapped up the engine. Okay. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank
Praise
you.
God.
Have a great night.
Praise God for you. Thank you. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. There we go. I was going to say, oh man, if my computer messes up, that's going to be something. Okay. 251-229. Good evening. This is Deborah. Who am I speaking to?
Good evening, Minister Deborah. This is Sarah.
Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Sarah from Alabama. Okay, we have two more callers, too, so let's get to prayer. Thank you, Father, for Sarah. Father, we just thank you for really everyone who's called in, God, and they just bringing their faith unto your throne and unto your kingdom, God. We thank you for that, Lord, and we just lift up Sarah to you, Lord, and thank you, God, just for what you're establishing and what you're doing in her life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I see him like a ranking, you know, like, you know, when people are in the military and they get different pins and different, you know, like a corporal and a general and a different, there's different rankings and they earn things. I see mm-hmm. a different ranking coming upon you, like the Lord, laying something upon you as a different rank, like you earned something and a different ranking. So so a new placement of ranking is being placed upon you. Thank you, Lord. So when I said establishment, I was just seeing it's actually like upon your shoulder. And I'm not sure what in the military that is, if that's a corporal thing or I don't know. I don't have family in the military, but So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the establishment of what you're doing, God, and the things that you're laying upon her, God. We know it's not a burden, Lord, because she takes your yoke upon her, God, and that is easy and gentle. And we learn from you, Lord. That's what your word says, to take your yoke upon us. That is easy and gentle, and to learn from you, God. So we thank you for the establishment of this ranking. And, I mean, Lord, in myself, I want to say achievement, because I feel, because I would feel proud if I was watching this in the natural, that you earned this and that you accomplished this, you know. So, Father, but I'm speaking into it to see if he just shows me anything else, and I'm not seeing anything else. I just keep repeatedly seeing this, establishment of this ranking, being placed upon you, and it's on your shoulder. So, praise be to God for that. Yeah. And so I would liken it to, like, in the military, the ranking is now they have, like, a new authority. They've earned something in this ranking spiritually, you know, using the spiritual sense, that is established of the Lord. It's been established of the Lord. He's recognizing it, and he is giving you this new ranking.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. I'm really excited about that, you know. I'm really excited, and I thank the Lord for you and your ministry that God has given you to help others, you know, to see the prophetic. So that is amazing. So I thank the Lord for you tonight. I'm not going to hold you long, because I know you said you have two more other people in the line.
Yeah.
In the
queue. Yeah, now I have three. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's a delight to hear your voice, and I know you're always encouraging, and I appreciate that. And so praise be to God. I look forward to hearing more from you in the future, and what the Lord you know, how this gets demonstrated in your life on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. And may the Lord continue to bless you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Our next caller is 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Carolina.
All right, Jennifer. We're glad that you're with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for Jennifer, Father, in Jesus' name. Hold on. I do have a verse I want to look up. I mean, I kind of know it, but I want to make sure I say it. I just want to read it. Way it's in here. So Isaiah 55:11. So will my word be, which goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, which is useless or without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I've sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So thank you. I just felt like the Lord was saying that, you know, his word that he sent forth, his word that he's given you will not return void, and it will set forth and accomplish and purpose that in which it was sent. And, you know, there's joy and peace that are involved with it. So the second part where it says, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth with shouts of joy before you. And all the trees, it's saying like this accomplishment and this that will succeed because of his word that was spoken to you and not returning void. It will, as you begin to move forth and go forth in it, all of the earth is going to come into correspondence with that and like a rejoicing. So it's saying the hills and the trees. So all of the land, it's like you're not necessarily your promised land, but the place is in which he desired for you to bear fruit. He's calling them forth now in Jesus' name. Every place that he's desired and called forth fruit, let it be established and let you walk in that. You know, one time my husband and I were in the kitchen, and I just, because I'm radical like this, I just, you know, we were talking about something, and I said, we're just going to pray right now. And I just reached down and I was touching the ground, and I just started praying and I declaring that every place that we are called to bear fruit in the land, that I call it forth to come, that the land would come into agreement with the calling of God in our lives to bear fruit. And I know my husband's more gifted, way more gifted, like in the marketplace and evangelism in the marketplace, like unbelievably, you know, and they're just calling forth the fruit in the, you know, and man, like there's just like a turn on that and for us. And so I see that with you, like God saying, like, really, it's so important what the Lord's already spoken to you, that it will not return void as you begin to step in it, begin to move in it. The land and the trees, which we are all called to be trees. So you're going to have people that are Christians and non-Christians who are rejoicing for what this establishment and purposes of the Lord in your life being accomplished as you move forth in it. Like coming into agreement. It's the earth coming into agreement with it when you see this favor and this, like this resounding acceptance of what you're doing. It's for the Lord, and like his timing is on it, your placement is on it, the goodness of God, you know, so be it unto you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Very cool. I don't know what's happening tonight, but I'm just seeing a lot of, I don't even know what's happening tonight, but I'm seeing like the Lord call forth people's destinies and begin to step into that and begin to move into it, you know, and being a royal priesthood, you know, we are a distinguished people because just, you know, like the Israelites were his distinguished people because why? Because they carried his presence and they carried his word. And that's exactly what we have. And he wants us to be distinguished in the land for his greater glory. And even, you know, just in our lives, be glorified. Be glorified, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Thank you. Okay, caller 903-946. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Janice, and I'm outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, very nice. How did you hear about the blog talk?
I've called several times before, but it's been a while.
Oh, okay. Well, good to have you. Very nice to have you. Yeah.
And I'm actually driving, and I'm asking for prayer, but I'm not going to say very much because I'm driving and listening, okay?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I can hear a little background noise, but that's fine. I'm okay with it. If it gets too much for me, then I'll mute it, but it's okay. Oh, okay. That's good. Oh, that's good. Thanks. Okay, Father, we just thank you for Janice, Father, in Jesus' name, God. We thank you, Lord, for her heart, God. We thank you for her travels. We bless her travels. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. just a blessing and protection even on her travels in the name of Jesus, and the Lord undergirding you with his strength and with his power, his protection, and undergirding. I see an undergirding of his strength and his protection for you. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the word of her testimony is important to the Lord. So it is, so when you talk and when you say things, and even if you're a person, I don't know you, but I don't know if you're a person who talks. Like there's some people, like I think my husband talks way more than I do. He's a talker. Like I'll tell him, like, whoa, you're a talker. So, but to, you really have to be careful what you say. Like it's like, but it's because the Lord is hearing your words. And the Lord is, the testimony is unto the Lord when you speak. So there must be some sort of anointing or care on your voice and on what you say, that he cares so much that when you're just having a conversation, he's listening to you. And he cares how those words are formed and what you're saying and how to be careful with that. So I'm thinking there is really something, a calling of some sort with your voice. And I don't know if that's prophetic. I mean, and I might be limited in my capability or understanding to know all of that, but there is like a sharpening and a shaping and a forming of what he's doing with your voice. And so I thank you for that, God. I thank you, God, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, that your name shall be praised upon her lips, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I appreciate all of your words. I think they were right on target. And bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you. Bye. Okay. Okay. We are with 847-239. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hello. Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good to hear you. Okay, thank you, Father, Lord, for Stephanie. Lord, we just thank you for her, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I see what I'm seeing is that the Lord is girding your waist with truth, well, they're a belt of truth, and girding is the girding of the waist. Let me just see, the girding, a belt of truth and girding, is it, what is the girding? okay, I'm not sure, but I think it is, gird up your loins. Oh, that's what it was. That's what it is. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my God. Gird up your loins and the belt of truth. This is what I see happening. The Lord is girding up your loins, which means, you know, like, okay, if the, they had it wasn't a robe, but it was a garment of all one length. And when they used to run, right? So it says run and don't grow weary. But when they used to run, they would have to gird up their loins. That means they would have to like to kind of pick up this garment so they wouldn't trip over it. And you couldn't get a good stride going like with your knees because it would hit the garment. Like if a girl had on a long dress or like a prom dress or a long evening gown, you couldn't run like full-fledged run it. You'd have to gird up your loins. So you would pick it up. Or, you know, you pick it up so that your knees had room to take the stride and to get the stride. So to gird up your loins also means, because of our mind, because of the belt of truth. So they put it up under the belt of truth and belt it in and so that they wouldn't trip. So they were girding up the loins. This is what I mean, the girding up your loins. It's like picking up the slack in our minds and making things taut with the Holy Spirit, where it tells us to take every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ, right? So he's teaching our mind, the renewing of our mind, and the things that the enemy hurls at us, the things that we pick up in the spirit, and then, you know, things in our own soul, you know, like, you know, our own critical spirit or, you know, self-sufficiency, whatever it might be, and sorting all those things out before the Holy Spirit, you know, for purification and consecration, just girding up your loins. So it's, there's great clarity so you can take greater steps and get greater strides going with the Lord. And it's all tucked under and held together with a belt of truth. So I would go back. I would just encourage you to go back and maybe in Ephesians 6, you know, and the garments are, you know what I'm talking about, in Ephesians 6, and see if there's any, what, if there's any other versions that liken girding up your loins and the belt of truth to what, like, specifically and more practical application, you know, maybe if you find that helpful. And so, but especially the girding up of the loins, because it's kind of like taking up the slack in our mind and coming into obedience of Christ. And again, sorting out all those things that, or maybe just our own soul, our own anxiety, and figuring that out before the Lord and actually giving it over to the Lord. Like, wow, I didn't even know I was doing that, you know? And just praying through that and beginning to recognize, because there's a real growth that can happen in that, just even in our mind, because the enemy can hurl things, especially if you're spiritually sensitive. You can, and some even intercessors, like, I can sometimes pick up on things on people's hearts, and I'll say a sentence like, oh, maybe I want to work at the pool today, and someone else will go, oh, my God, I was just thinking that, like, I think I was going to get my computer and go down to the pool thing, and then I realized later, oh, my God, I picked that up from their heart, like, I actually perceived what was happening in their heart, and it wasn't even really my thought, it was just, and so sometimes I have to make sure I slow down, so I can say, like, am I supposed to say this or not say this, you know? So so in some ways, I'm still learning too. But anyway, I just encourage you with that, because it's actually kind of cool, because I know the Lord is taking you someplace where he's going to strengthen you and utilize that. And it's going to be a great benefit both to you and to the kingdom of God and to those around you. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Okay, last caller for this evening. Oh, my, 312-254. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Antelise from Florida.
Antelise?
Yeah.
Okay, good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. I planned on just listening in tonight, but I thought I'd just call in for prayers.
Just snap in cue right quick. Okay, for you, I have like, oh, it's 9:43, so I have a minute and a half. Father God, I just thank you for Antelise, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And, you know, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for her destiny. Lord, I just see the Lord doing is calling for destinies tonight and drawing them forth. And that is the Father's role, even in Hebrew and even in our world, is that the Father calls forth the destiny of the child, you know, and it's really quite a beautiful thing. And sometimes he does that before they see it, and sometimes it awakens them. And sometimes, you know, he's giving them that assurance in such a great way. But I see the Lord, like there is a magnified of his beauty upon your destiny, and like it's stirring, it's spiritually, like I see this spiritually, a magnifying and stirring upon your destiny that is like that is happening right now. Like, I don't even want to say the word magical, because then that seems too earthly and too off, but it is like, mm-hmm. when I see it spiritually as this thing stirring, it is, but it's in the spirit and it's beautiful and it's, and you on his heart specifically for you. and it's stirring and it's being magnified over you. And I see that happening even almost over your head. So I don't know if he's giving you ideas, if you're having dreams. I mean, I'm seeing different colors. Again, like stars, and it's just really, it's really beautiful. So God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Okay, thank you for joining us. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you so much. I will. You do the same. Okay, shalom, everyone. We'll see you next time. God bless.